There is a harshness in the gospel reading today. A harshness that we find a little uncomfortable and seemingly almost contrary to the very nature of Jesus himself. We must hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, in order to be his disciple. That seems so contrary to the one who said that we must love one another, and that is the great commandment, love God and love neighbor. Very contrary to what we are taught in the fourth commandment, to honor our father and mother. So Jesus could not have meant literally that we hate. But it was a custom of the time, of the culture, of the language, to exaggerate. To exaggerate in order to bring home a point. And it must have been for Jesus a very important point. And that is the point that all the relationships we have in life must be secondary to our relationship with him. And we may ask ourselves, what gave Jesus the right to be so demanding? Well, he had the right to be that demanding, I think, for two reasons. One, he was God, or is God. But secondly, what Jesus is asking us to put in first place can bring us something that no other relationship in our lives can bring us. And that is eternal life. Because what Jesus is able to offer us, because of the gift he can give us, he has the right to say to us that our relationship with him must be the primary relationship of our lives. That all other relationship, even all other material possessions, must be secondary to that relationship to which he calls us. Sometimes we Christians are criticized by the fact that we teach that, you know, suffer now and you'll get a great reward later. There is an element of that, but there is far more than that in the Christian faith. Jesus not only promises us eternal life, but he also promises us joy in the present if we enter into oneness with him. Think about it for a moment. Are not the really holy people you have known, are they not also joyful people? As a matter of fact, we often consider joy one of the true signs of holiness. Think about the Apostle Paul and his writings. There was a man who suffered a great deal. He talks about it, being stoned, being imprisoned, being in shipwrecks. And yet if you read his writings, there is an underlying sense of joy. And that joy comes from his relationship with Christ Jesus. Probably one of the greatest examples of that is Francis of Assisi. A man who left everything, even the very clothes on his back. There was in him a profound sense of joy. I would think Pope John Paul II would also be another example of that. He too was a man who suffered greatly. And yet, there seems to have been in him a profound sense of joy. He knew the presence of God in his life. He had a relationship with the Savior, and that filled him with joy. My guess is Mother Teresa would be another one of those. Suffered much, worked hard, worked with the people that were hardest to work with, and yet a pervasive sense of joy in her life. This is what Jesus promises us, that if we can live in oneness with him, we will know a joy and a fulfillment that nothing else in life can give us. And then we will also know eternal life. Now, the joy that Jesus promises us is not the same as happiness. You know, happiness can come and go. I can be happy when I receive a compliment, or happy when I win something big, or happy when someone I have not seen for a long time comes to visit. But that can go away very quickly. Joy is something deeper than that. Joy is that deep awareness that in spite of the ups and downs of life, in spite of the hardships and sufferings that sometimes come to us, all is okay, because we are in relationship with the God of life. And that God of life can fill us with peace now and peace forever in his heavenly kingdom. Because only our Savior, Jesus Christ, can bring us to that. He has the right to demand of us that our relationship with him be the most important relationship of our life.